This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. You want to know why what the Fed does on interest rates matters? And I mean matters not just to us, but basically to the entire global economy. Because what the Fed does on interest rates is, in the very long run, about the dollar. And despite the whole financial crisis thing and rising U.S. government debt and all the rest, the dollar is still it in global currency circles, the global reserve currency, as it's known. Ishwar Prasad is a professor of economics at Cornell, and he is the author of a new book about the dollar and its status. It's called The Dollar Trap. Professor, good to have you with us.
My pleasure, Kai.
This idea that you have in this book about the dollar, that it has, in fact, tightened its grip as the reserve currency in the global economy, is that because we're doing really well with the dollar or everybody else's currency is doing so badly?
In international finance, Kai, everything is relative, and the U.S. looks a lot better than the rest of the world. We still have the most trusted financial markets in the world, and the combination of public institutions, an open and transparent democratic structure, and also a robust legal framework seem to have given the dollar a tremendous advantage as the world's reserve currency that no other currency is in a position to match.
Doesn't really sound like a ringing endorsement, though. We're so good because everybody else is not.
In fact, it's a strange paradox. The financial crisis, after all, had its origins in the U.S. Mm-hmm. The Federal Reserve has been pumping huge amounts of dollars into the global financial system, which ought to cheapen its value. And the U.S. has been issuing a huge amount of public debt. Because in times of turmoil, the world wants safety, and the U.S. is still seen as the safest place to invest.
And everybody holds dollars. I mean, the Chinese, as we all know, hold more than $1 trillion worth of dollars. So they are vested in us being strong, yes?
That's the point. If you look at just the holdings of U.S. government securities, foreign investors hold about $5.6 trillion worth of U.S. government securities, not to mention a whole lot of other dollar assets. So now everybody in the world has an incentive to keep the system as is, because if the dollar falls, they lose.
There is that that thing, though, that people say about financial crises, right? That they happen very slowly until they happen right away really quickly. Could you see some circumstance where the world just loses faith in the dollar?
That's a very good question, and it's a question that's become sharper over time. And in fact, in my book, I do try to look at various tipping point scenarios. The Chinese could say, let's move on and get away from the dollar because we are tired of this. Other foreign investors could lose faith in the dollar. U.S. investors could lose faith in the dollar. But here's the curious thing. All of this would, in principle, lead to turmoil in U.S. financial markets, which would very quickly spread to the rest of the world. When there is turmoil, people want safety. And where do you go when you want safety? It's right back to the U.S. dollar. So there really is no other place to hide.
It's amazing. Everything comes back to the United States.
It is a frustrating paradox for the rest of the world, but there really is no easy escape from the dollar trap.
So can we all go home now? I mean, the European Union's a mess and the Chinese won't let the UN float freely. So we're done. We're it. And thank you very much.
This is not entirely a good thing for the U.S. It's true. It's very nice if the world comes and buys U.S. debt. It keeps financing here cheap so Americans can get cheaper mortgages, car loans, and so on. But the dollar's value is perhaps stronger than it ought to be. And that means fewer jobs, less exports. So it's not altogether a good thing for the U.S.
Would you buy U.S. debt? Would you go out and buy a treasury bond today?
If I was looking for a safe place to put my money and if I had a few billions of dollars, I might. Given that I don't have a few billions of dollars, I might look for more diversified investments. And that's the point. The large investors really have no other place to hide. Smaller investors like you and me, Kai, might have other places to go.
Professor Prasad, thanks very much for your time, sir.
My pleasure, Kai.
Ishwar Prasad is a professor of economics at Cornell, and he is at Brookings as well.